The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
We will make you happy indeed. Welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you today?
It's been a good day so far today, although a little bit eclectic in nature.
That's just your normal.
Indeed.
Well, let's just jump right into Veterans Affairs. The first story that I have this evening, of course, is always about veterans. And this one is about Sergeant First Class Michael Schlitz, who lost both his hands and suffered burns over 85% of his body after his unit was hit by a roadside bomb in Iraq. His life didn't flash before his eyes that day, he said, but I was coming to terms with the fact that this was where I was going to die. He survived. And after an anguishing set of surgeries, he's today a motivational speaker for other wounded warriors. And his account is just one of many inspiring stories that wounded veterans have to tell. And they get together once a year for something called the Wounded Warrior Experience, which is an annual panel discussion held at the Naval Memorial in Washington and hosted by American Veterans Center and the Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation. So when he spoke at the event this year, he described how he was thrown from his Humvee after the propane-filled explosive device ripped through the floor, setting everything on fire. And he was left face down on the side of the road on fire. And he says, before I knew it, I felt that fire extinguisher coming over my body. Two things came over me at that precise moment. One, the physical relief, an absolute cooling sensation, putting away that heat and the emotional aspect of, hey, I'm being saved. Maybe I won't die here. I still have a fighting chance. His progression to becoming a motivational speaker for other wounded warriors is just one of the inspiring feats that he has accomplished. After the first 4 months, the first 30 surgeries, I really don't have any recollection of it, Short said. Coming out of it, they took skin from the bottom of my feet. They took it from every area they could give it and slowly piecemealed it together. He said he nearly lost a third of his body weight while he was in the hospital, and much of that weight, he said, was burned away in the attack. After being released from the hospital, he said the idea of suicide overwhelmed him and that he thought of a million ways to kill himself. But there were two major turning points for him. First, he said he was getting his prosthetic arms and gaining back independence. I kept pushing through the rehab, and one day I finally got that first prosthetic, and that night I got to go home and feed myself. Just that little bit of independence, that little bit of freedom was enough to say, okay, I have a fighting chance again. Schlitz said that it was also very therapeutic to travel back to the site of the attack on three separate occasions, eventually serving as a military mentor for wounded soldiers in theater. But for many returning vets, the pain and suffering is mostly psychological, namely post-traumatic stress that leads to thoughts of suicide. And so he is one of the many soldiers that not only is a hero, but is able to voice how he feels and the traumas that he went through to other warriors to give them hope, you know, in the case of an episode where they're injured and maybe losing hope or committing or thinking about committing suicide. So I find that he's a real American hero, and I wanted to share a story. It really touched me.
Well, you know, it's really good example too about I like how he said that it was therapeutic to go to the site of where it happened. I do think that that's important for people that have had traumatic experiences because it does help to foster that sense of healing. You know, when you can go to the place and you realize, okay, this is where it happened. I'm not in danger right now. I can get past it. You know what I mean? It sort of helps to bridge that gap that's there from that traumatic experience.
I think that that could go either way, though.
It can, yeah.
If he's very traumatized, Barrett, going back to that situation into those circumstances could put him over the edge. you know, I think it depends on his makeup and where he's at.
I was going to say, I think it depends on the part of the process that they're in. You know, you wouldn't want to go there maybe necessarily right there at the beginning of things. But, you know, after you've had time to heal and come to terms with things, at least to a point, you know, that then going to that spot might help you to boost you past that gap then. But
yeah,
you're right.
I agree. What's that?
Oh, I said, but you're right. I do agree with you. Don't do it like right away or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think honestly that depends on the individual as a person and what their choices are as far as where they are in their healing and, you know, and if they're able to mentally, you know, do that. I know people that have been treated for PTSD and that I help with PTSD and anxiety disorders that if they've been traumatized at a particular location, they just, you know, they're not able to go back because it brings back all those memories. So, you know, healing is just so important. And I'm really, really happy that people like this exist and that they're strong enough to come forward with their stories and give other people hope. I just, to me, you know, even regardless of what he'd been through, just the fact that he's strong enough to stand up and talk about it and help others, his wanting to help others by sharing his experiences, it makes him a real hero to me.
Sure, absolutely.
I thought it was cool.
I totally agree with you there, yep.
So then we have Think Outside the Raggedy Box. You're going to love this one. And we can expound and expound. We got a lot of stuff to get through tonight. So let's talk about judgment. Okay, Think Outside the Raggedy Box this way. It's another, and we've spoken kind of on the issue, around the issue, a matter of perception. You know, and how one thing can see things in a certain, one person or another can see things in a certain light and another take a totally different perspective on that. One of the things that I'd encountered personally in the past week, let's say week or two, was a personal decision that I had made that had some repercussions judgmentally from other people. And I made the decisions that I did based on my discernment, based on my based on my visions, you know, based on things that I had seen and messages that were given to me. So I know from my perspective, because of the fact that I'm gifted and because of the fact that I'm so close to source, that when I get an indication or I get a message, I know to trust it with all my heart. I know that it's not coming from a bad place, you know, and typically, if there's a difference in opinion, because I work and skirt around a lot of Christian-based people, you know, I'm told that my judgment is off, or, you know, Catholic priests, we've been through this before, you know, you're listening to the wrong voices. So let's talk about that a minute. I just feel that, you know, if you're firm in your belief structure, and you're firm in what you totally know that what you're hearing is correct, then, and you believe it with all of your heart and soul, and there's no split second of, you know, that first gut instinct, always go with that first gut instinct. And so if you know in your heart and in your mind right from the onset that this is 100% right decision to make or a path to follow, then do it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it, because they don't know what your situations are and they don't know what you've been seen or what you've been shown, you know, or why you were guided to make the decisions that you were. And so many times, unfortunately, people will quote the Bible and be judgmental and then turn around and saying that they're not being judgmental, but they are. Because if they come at you where they already have a preformed opinion of a situation without knowing the details of the situation or what the people that are involved in the situation are going through, for them to make a snap judgment, that's judgment. And so therefore it's wrong based on Christian belief. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, absolutely. I've dealt with it quite a few times over the years myself. When it comes to the subject of judgment, one of the things I think is at issue is that when, especially in the conservative Christian bent, a lot of people have this idea that they can label things. And you know, this is the way that it is throughout all of society. Labels are easy, you know, to be able to judge somebody based upon a certain label. I've been looked at before over the years as my when I would do healing on people, or when I would help somebody out with the messages that I've gotten, for instance, I was told that I was working with demons or that I was demonic for doing so. And my point always was, how can that be? A demon wouldn't do anything to help anybody out if it didn't serve its own ends. And that's not the case in this, because I'm seeking nothing out, right? So it's a bad judgment call, so to speak, on their part. But it shows, I guess, a fundamental lack of discernment on their own part in regards to their own belief system, which says at its core, when you judge somebody, you are labeling them, and therefore you are essentially damning them.
Well, especially going into this situation and the scenario that I encountered personally, I happened to have done a little homework and a little research into the background of the people that were involved, and I went in with the mindset that I was told, okay, you're going to go into this with the mindset of peace and love and forgiveness, and no matter what this person says to you, you're going to go at it from a calm aspect, from a peaceful aspect, and from a place of love and forgiveness, because that is how I am, and that is how I want for you to be. So regardless of what this person says to you or what they accuse you of, just be like me.
Well, you can be the teacher.
That's what I did.
You can be the teacher to it.
Well, and that's what I did, but you know, knowing the things that I had discovered earlier in the week, I just thought that, you know, I could have come at it from a whole different perspective and, you know, said a lot of hurtful, judgeful, bad things, that I know to be true. And I chose not to do that. I chose to take the high road. And regardless of the fact that I was being personally attacked, I still took the high road, you know, and I felt that, you know, coming out of that, I did the right thing and I was at peace. For two reasons, because number one, I know that what I see is real, and I know that what has been shown to me is real, and I know that the choices that were set before me were put before me for a specific reason, and I know with 100% certainty that the choices that I made were the right ones, and, you know, in the back of my mind, knowing that this person is, I don't want to say holier than thou, because that would be kind of harsh, and because I don't think that it's entirely realized that that's the scenario there, but in essence, that is the scenario there, because looking into the background there and knowing things, you know, it's almost like a double standard.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I just went, and like I said, it was the spirit of peace, the spirit of love, the spirit of forgiveness, and I was totally calm and at peace for most of the conversation that I shared, and I was open and honest, and but I was also adamant, because I know what I see and feel to be true. So, you know, it's very important that we learn to trust in ourselves and what we hear. And like I said, if you're coming from a place where I know I am, then, you know, don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong. And when you do get attacked, you know, a lot of choices that we make, you know, at least in my field of doing spiritual warfare, you know, it's the unholy. It's an attack from the other side, you know, and they want to make you double doubt yourself and question yourself and question the choices that you've made. But, you know, a lot of times too, you know, the person is also working on the other side.
Right.
And making them think that they're right, you know, and that, you know, right away you're wrong. And so they are very duplicitous, and they are very, very sneaky. And you know, I just, you have to know how to discern that too.
Yeah, they'll make you feel really good about your judgment. You know, that's the thing. They'll make you feel really good about the judgment that you made, even if it's a snap judgment. That's the way it is. You're sort of taking the cue, I guess you could say, from Gandhi. You know, be the change in the world that you want to see. You instead of you being judgmental yourself, you were trying to take the road less traveled, so to speak, and not try to put any labels on somebody. And that's a good thing. One thing that I would add into this too is, and this is in relation, the Lord's Prayer, the one prayer that Jesus Christ gave, which people might think would be important. You know, it's the one thing that he gave as far as a prayer goes. He said flat out in that prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And people read that and they think, okay, so there's that. But they don't really understand the wording that's there. It's forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that trespass against us or that sin against us. In other words, in the same manner, God, that I forgive other people, I want you to forgive me. So if I'm holding unforgiveness in my heart or I'm holding judgment in my heart against somebody, that's how I'm going to be judged by God himself, because I've asked him for that.
Especially when historically speaking, the premonitions and the visions that were given to this person have been wrong, you know.
which shows right there, again, you know, if people are going with the biblically speaking, then the Bible itself says, test the prophets, test those who claim to be prophets. And if they're incorrect any time, they're not a prophet of God.
They're not getting the messages
from God. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there are prophets that have been wrong in the past.
Sure.
You know, so, I mean, that, you know, it happens, I guess. But my point here is that, you know, if you've made some mistakes in the past and you've made some bad judgment calls or some wrong prophecies in the past, then how can you be so assured in knowing that I'm the one that's wrong,
right,
when you've been fallible before? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
So,
but that's what I'm saying. Humanity, our humanity gets in the way when we do prophesying, you know, or when we have our visions.
Yeah.
Our humanity and our interpretation of it, our interpretation of it gets in the way, and we put our own spin on it because of our own experiences, which can skew the prophecy, you see.
Yeah. And you know what? Our God is a forgiving God.
Absolutely.
And, the messages that have been received from me, or to me rather, you know, he does everything for a reason.
Yep.
And so
even the demonic entities serve a purpose under him. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that was that for this week. And then we'll jump into Holistically Healthy.
Okay.
And Vital Veggies. I chose for this week, actually, peas.
Another one, and I can't stand.
Another one you can't stand? Oh, no, man. Did I get two in a row?
You did.
Oh, boy. Well, I promise you not to ever do rhubarb. Well, maybe not ever, but.
Now, I love rhubarb, though.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll consider that one then. But peas are good for weight management, stomach cancer prevention, actually. They contain high amounts of a health protective polyphenol called cumesterol. And a study in Mexico City determined you only need 2 milligrams of that a day to prevent stomach cancer, and a cup of peas has at least 10 of those. So I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know that. They're good for anti-aging, for a strong immune system and higher energy, because they contain high levels of some antioxidants, prevention of wrinkles, Alzheimer's, arthritis, bronchitis, osteoporosis, and candida. Again, because of the strong anti-inflammatory properties. And, of course, because excess inflammation has been linked to heart disease, cancer, and aging in general. Blood sugar regulation, heart disease prevention. They're good for the environment because they work with the bacteria in the soil to fix the nitrogen from the air and deposit it in the soil. And so that reduces the need for artificial fertilizers, since one of their main ingredients is nitrogen. And after they've been harvested, the remaining plant easily breaks down to create more organic fertilizer for the soil. And they're also able to grow on minimal moisture, so they're a perfect crop in many areas not needing irrigation or using up valuable water supplies. They prevent constipation, healthy bones, and reduce bad cholesterol. And the recipe that I chose for this week is an old Italian recipe that was a favorite of my mom's on a really busy night when she needed a quick supper. And we always called it peas and pasta. So that's what I've called it here. And it's just you take two cans of, I prefer the baby peas because they're smaller and sweeter, or frozen, or fresh if you can get them. 1 pound of elbow macaroni, an onion, olive oil, garlic, salt, and pepper. And all you do is you chop up the onion and fry it in your olive oil with a little bit of garlic and some salt and pepper. I usually use about 2 cloves. Brown that up nicely in the pan while your pasta is boiling. And then you simply drain the pasta, toss in the onion, toss in probably 1/4 cup of olive oil, and the peas, mix it all together. I add a little bit of turmeric to just about anything I cook, so I put a little bit of that in there, and then some more salt and pepper. You can sprinkle some Parmesan, mix it all together, and you're done. It's so easy, and it's really good.
That doesn't sound too bad. You could always deal with people like Jolene and I. She loves peas, but she hates pea pods. I love pea pods, but I hate peas. So together we... we eat the whole thing either way, but
you guys kill me. Oh boy. You want to go into Comedy Corner?
Why, sure, we can do that. We've got a couple of really good ones for you guys this week, and hopefully you guys will enjoy them.
Did
I love
you like
them? I do. I love them.
Good.
Here you guys go. Take a listen, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
I'm also racist. But not in a bad way. I'm not a bigot or anything like that. I just judge people because of the race. I'll give you an example. I don't fight Asians. Because every other group of people gives you an idea that they may be able to fight. You know, when you run into a black guy, he'll be like big, you know what I'm saying? But doesn't know how to lift weights. Because he got big in prison. You know what I'm saying? You see, like, if you see a white guy, he will also be big, but he'll have a shirt 3 sizes too small with a dragon on it and cauliflower ear. That's because he can choke you out. And with Latinos, you know what I'm saying? They'll have a tattoo on their head and or neck area. You know what I'm saying? And khaki shorts. Depending on where you at, it could be a Chargers or Raiders jersey. And they stand in a ballet position, you know what I'm saying? Just like... What you wanna do, fool? I'm right here, fool. We could do this all day, fool. What you wanna do, fool? You might want to get out of there. But an Asian will look like an accountant be able to hurt you without you even seeing it coming. And they don't talk like anybody else before a fight. You could be real disrespectful to an Asian. You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, "No, we can do this, Jackie Chan." And he'll be like, "I don't think you want this trouble." "I will allow you the opportunity to move along, sir. Violence will inconvenience both of us." But you want to persist, you know what I'm saying? "Man, I don't care about that. I'm from the streets. Let's do this." And all of a sudden you just hear, "Hep! Next thing you know, you on the ground, you can't see or hear, and you done peed on yourself. And he's helping you up. "Now, what have we learned today?" Now you in his dojo training. "How do that thing where I make people pee on themselves?"
I remember going to church as an adult, right, for the first time when I started going to church. And I would walk in, and the pastor was like, he said, "I want you to pray with your neighbor." And I'm like, well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you want me to... You want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't gonna do that. Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face. I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. Praying. She was like, Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You're the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. I'm thinking, man, she even know his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary to just, but I'm not gonna let her outpray me. So I'm like, okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You know, you are good, Lord. You are good. You are good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just gotta obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosy moms choose Jesus. So, Lord, because. You know, as the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I can fly, amen.
I believe I can fly.
I know.
I love it.
Killed me, and I love that movie, actually, with Michael Jordan, Space Jam.
Yeah.
Isn't that where that's from?
Yeah, I think it is.
I love that song, too, actually.
That's actually one of Jolene's favorite movies, funnily enough.
Is it really? Well, with me, with my boy who loves basketball, we must have watched that probably 100 times. I had it memorized. So I'm glad you like them, though, anyway.
I can definitely agree with the first one. I've encountered those stereotypes in my mind before. It's like, I don't know, he's Asian. Do I want to mess with him? You never know. You never know. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be racist.
But because so many of my Asian friends, like you would never think. I mean, they're so peaceful and so quiet. And meanwhile, they hold like the highest degree black belt. And they're these tiny little guys and women. And you would never think by looking at them that they could totally kick your butt. You know?
Wipe the floor with you. Indeed. Exactly.
That's right. I heard a meme on Facebook, or read a meme on Facebook the other day that I thought was hysterical, especially related to me, because, you know, coming from, you know, a city background and the Italian and all that, and used to have a really bad temper 5-6 years ago, you know, you'd look at me crosswise, you cross-eyed, you know, and I just poke you for looking at me. And the meme was something like, I have a really big attitude for somebody who tips over when putting their pants on in the morning. That's me right there. Especially with what I've been going through the last year, as you know. It's like, really?
Think you're tough, girl. Okay.
Oh, Ira, what we go through, right?
I'm telling you.
Ira can't see. I can't walk.
To go with that unexpected thing, you know, it's like I sit here. I'm blind. I can't see a thing. But I have my blowgun next to me. And if somebody was to walk into the door in this house and know that I'm blind and not be able to mess with them or see them or anything like that, I can still peg them from across the room, right in the eye, with this dang blowgun. You know, it's like, come on, man, mess with me.
You are gonna love the song that I picked this week. Then you're gonna die laughing when you hear it, because that is so apt. It's like that Sal Maniscalco skit that I did about the guy with the archery, with
yes,
the bow and arrow.
Yes, exactly.
Funk.
Exactly.
Oh, we're crazy. Mm-mm-mm, but I love you, Ira. My Maggie's Moments for the week was really, really interesting. I can't wait for you to hear this one. I actually posted a status about it. I went someplace today that I hadn't planned on going. I went to church, and there was like a little get-together thing, and I had no intentions of going, but I got talked into it the last minute, and so I decided to show up. And I met this little girl who was the most beautiful little creature that just gorgeous, gorgeous little girl, and beautiful eyes, and just so pretty, and so cute, so dainty, so, you know, just, she was adorable. And she couldn't speak any English, and she was just so adorable. She couldn't speak any English, and so I don't want to give away too many details of the situation because I'm really not sure that I ought, you know, just for her personal safety. But there was an interpreter that was involved, and a buddy of mine who took like Spanish in the eighth grade, and it's close enough to Italian Spanish is to where I could pick out certain words. But, you know, we were just smiling at each other and talking back and forth and doing hand gestures and things like that. And the translator relayed to me that her father was actually assassinated, and that she had been going back and forth between two South American countries where her family had pretty much fled to and were split up. And so, I mean, imagine the trauma that this child had to face. And her mom is still in one of the countries, and she was able to get out, and she's been just here about a month with her grandma. Poor thing, like I said, doesn't speak a word of English. And, I mean, a whole new environment, a whole new way of life, being uprooted and pulled from her family, and just all of the changes that this little girl has had to endure. And she just had the sweetest disposition and the kindest eyes, and the most, she was just so happy to have somebody, you know, that paid attention to her and talked to her, because I don't imagine that she's gotten out since she's been here that much in the past month. And my heart just went out to her. And so we kind of, you know, like you said, made faces back and forth, did sign language and this and that. And she kept looking over at me and smiling and, you know, kind of looking at me and just shy. And then if I look at her, she'd smile and look away, you know. She was just so cute. And so I asked the translator, you know, what size clothing she was, and would she like some hoodies or some, you know, winter clothes? Because I knew that, I knew intuitively that that she pretty much had to flee and that she wasn't able to come with much. You know, that she needed things. And her grandma, you could tell, was a very, very prim, proper, very proud woman. So I had to do it very carefully in a way in that I didn't insult the grandma either, because culturally, again, they're a lot like Italian people, you know, and the last thing I wanted to do was insult the grandma. But I worded it in such a way, and I guess it was translated the way that I worded it, so that the little girl, she wasn't offended at all, you know, and she told me what size she was. And so I came home, and I was able to get a box together of stuff that my daughter had outgrown. And, you know, just, you know, warm hoodies and scarves, hat, mittens, some sweatpants, a couple of leggings. And I found some, like, hair bands that my daughter, you know, wore when she was younger. And I had some stuffed animals that were in the house in a bag that we were actually going to give to Goodwill that are, like, new. But just, you know, my daughter had outgrown them. She's, you know, she's older now. And I went in the closet, and in the back of the closet, I had been saving. It's this really, really pretty wool Christmas coat with black trim. I saved for it for like a long time to buy it for my daughter for Christmas. And, you know, she wore it maybe twice and then outgrew it. And my nieces they were actually, by the time I was ready to get rid of it, were over that size. So I had it hanging in the closet just waiting for the opportunity to give it to someone that would appreciate it. And it's exactly this girl's size. So I got that together, and, you know, a couple of little toys and stuff like that. And so I boxed it all up, and I'm going to be able to get it to her so that she's got, you know, just some things that are warm and comfy and some toys to play with. And I found an old art set upstairs that's barely used that my daughter had in the closet, you know, things like that to make her feel more comfortable. But the thing that struck me was just the openness and the beauty in her eyes, and just the shining, you know, there, just the joy, irregardless of everything that this little girl had been through, just the peace and happiness in her face, and, you know, the openness and the trusting look in her eyes when we spoke, you know, I was floored by that, especially after everything she'd gone through, you know. And it was really a blessing to meet her. I was really, really happy for the opportunity. And it's so funny the way that, you know, these things are put into our path. I wasn't intending on going there. I had no intentions at all. In fact, we were just talking about it 15 minutes before, and I was like, no, I'm not going to that today. I don't have time. I've got other stuff I want to do. And then it was just a quick last-minute decision. I got approached again, will we come? And I'm like, all right, you know, I'll come. So I went, you know, and I know that it was because I was supposed to meet this little girl today, you know.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So
again, that whole thing that we were talking about earlier, everything is for a reason. You get guided into things, you get led into things. If you follow your gut, if you follow your instinct, if you follow the flow of the energy that God's trying to lead you through, you're going to find everything in your life that you're supposed to encounter.
Yeah, you know, and if I had ignored that initial twitch where I got asked again, you know, do you want to go? And I'm like, nah. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, somebody else approached me and said, oh, we're having this thing today. Why don't you come? And I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. Okay. I need to go. And I knew that I needed to go, and I went with it. And this is why, you know, it's awesome when things like that happen, I think. So that's my Maggie's Moments for today. And, Mamma Mia, oh boy, you're going to love this one. My grandmother always had a thing about going to the bathroom, and that, like, if you have to urinate, if you have to go pee, not to hold it because you can get an infection and it can make you really sick.
Sure, yeah.
And old Italian women are they're crazy about that. You got to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. You don't hold it, it'll make you sick, right? So I can remember distinctly. I mean, and they were always worried about you getting an infection. I was like, you're going to get an infection. You know, you're going to get sick. You got to go to the bathroom. So, you know, so many times today we're so busy and we're running around and we're like holding it for hours. And then like we're driving down the freeway in the car and we're like, oh my gosh, I got to go. And, you know, you know, and you make it to your destination, you're about to burst, you know. And it's just our lifestyle today. You know, everything is so hectic and we're so fast paced and we're just in such a rush to get everywhere that we ignore the size of our body. And you know what? It can have adverse effects on you. You can develop UTIs and your, you know, infections and things like that from, you shouldn't really hold it. If you got to go, go.
It's really bad for guys. Yeah.
Yeah. If you got to go, go. That was what she said that over and over and over. And I can remember I was about 3 years old and my biggest chore on a Sunday, the whole family was downstairs in the basement apartment for dinner because that's where my great grandparents lived at the time. It was a 3-story house, 3 separate apartments. They were downstairs. And that was the common house. I mean, that was the apartment without all the plastic on the furniture. The middle apartment had all the plastic on the furniture. That was the mausoleum. You know, you only bought company there, and that's when my pop and, you know, and that's where my pop and mom were. And yeah, you couldn't touch anything, you know. But so we're downstairs, and there's like, I don't know, maybe 15 people headed over, you know, to the house for lunch, and you know, the neighbors are coming over, and we never knew who was coming on any given week. The door was always open. We had our regular neighbors that came every week, but sometimes there'd be more. Sometimes they bring friends, you know. And so I remember the house was full. And my biggest chore was I always had to go. Great-grandpa would take a nap before lunch. And it was my job to go and wake him up before dinner. So grandma would call, hey, you know, it's time for dinner. Go get a grandpa. So I'd have to go wake him up and let him know that it was time to eat. And so he was laying on a sofa in the back room that he took his naps on, and I was probably, like I said, about 3, and I used to like to go and jump on him to wake him up. So I went over to him, and I straddled his belly. You know, I had one leg on either side of his belly, and I'm hopping up and down on his belly to wake him up that it was time for a nap. And, you know, of course, he was all, he used to be all cranky at first when he'd wake him up, you know, because especially I was jumping on his belly, you know. But he was a bear. I mean, he'd growl and he'd kiss me and hug me and, you know, it was fine. But I'm bouncing up and down on his belly and I started to pee.
Oh no.
So he starts yelling from the other room, Millie, she's a peeing on me. She's a pissing all over me. And my grandmother yells from the other room with a house full of people, let her finish. She'll get sick. She's got to go. So there I am, and do you know, he listened to everything his wife told him. He loved her just to the day he died. She passed way before he did, and she was just, you know, she was his son. You know, everything she said was gospel, and he just loved her so much that he didn't take me off of it. He let me finish. And then he picked me up and put me on the floor.
Oh, man.
Went inside and showed 15 people his shirt. Look what she did to me.
Oh, man.
So that's my Mamma Mia moment.
I love it.
When you gotta go, go.
You gotta go, exactly.
Don't stop in the middle. You'll get sick.
Exactly.
Finish what you're doing.
I love it.
So that's that. Another embarrassing family moment. You heard the monkey one. I told you about the monkey one several episodes
ago. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I got him. Oh, man. I should write a book for real. So if we go into memorable, you got to watch this movie. Have you ever seen Miracle from Heaven? It came out last year.
We haven't seen it yet, but it's one that we want to.
Yeah. I'm not sure how big it got in the ratings, but, you know, or how popular it was, but it's based on the incredible true story of the Beam family from Burleston, Texas. And when Christy, who's played by Jennifer Gardner, discovers her 10-year-old daughter, Anna, played by Kylie Rogers. I'm not sure. I don't know a lot of the modern actors out there because I don't watch a lot of TV or movies. But Kylie Rogers plays a little girl, and she has a rare incurable disease. And so the mom becomes a ferocious advocate for her daughter's healing as she searches for a solution. And after Anna has a freak accident, an extraordinary miracle unfolds in the wake of her dramatic rescue that leaves medical specialists mystified. Her family is restored and their community is inspired. And it also has Queen Latifah in it, too. And I like her. I think she's pretty funny. So if you haven't seen that one, I think you should. It's a really good movie. I think you'd enjoy it. And I'm 216, 2003. It should be out on video now, I would think.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that one was a good one. And have you watched Rocky yet?
The Sylvester Stallone one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we did that a couple episodes ago. We did that a couple episodes ago, and I don't think, had you seen all of them?
Not all of them, no. Huh?
Oh, you got to watch them. You got to have a Rocky day, just like a Star Wars day. For real, you have to.
Well, I'm a big Sly fan anyways, but yeah. I did try watching the new one at one point in time. I got about halfway through it, and then the version of it that I found, it was a bad copy, and it decided to go, so I couldn't watch the rest of it.
I would offer to send it to you on DVD, because every time the new ones come out, because of the kids, I have to get it. But if I did that and they came home and it wasn't here, I'd be in big trouble. Because they do. When they come home, they have movie day, and it's usually, they usually do a Rocky day and a Star Wars day, so, and a Lord of the Rings day. So positive affirmations in scripture. I chose for the affirmation, I muster up more hope and courage from deep inside me. And I chose Psalm 23, King James Version, and it was pertinent to me, especially because of the events that I related to you earlier, or at least the situation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that was my positive affirmation in scripture for the week.
Indeed.
And that affirmation is also very powerful. I muster up more hope and courage from deep inside me, especially when you find yourself sinking to lows, depressed, anxious, sad. You know, again, if you put that on a post-it note or you know, put it on an index card or a little piece of notepaper and carry it around in your wallet or put it on your refrigerator or stick it to your steering wheel or on your desk, it will help you, and as will scripture. So that's what I have for this week for that. And do you want to go into the song?
We can do.
I'm anxious to hear what you think about this one because it's kind of poppy, and I know you're not typically a poppy kind of guy.
It's a new one for me, so we'll see what I think. Here you guys go. Enjoy the song, folks.
Chains before they choke me out. Now I pay close attention. Yeah. Really learn the code. I learned to read the map before bounce I hit the road.
Yo, I know you never heard this before, but I'd rather lose a fight than miss the war. And I ain't wishing competition or fishing for it. I'm just living in a system, conditions are poor. I've been lost in the rhythm and misinformed. Too many late nights hitting the liquor store. Too many bad decisions, half-assed attempts. No sweat, no fear, no blood, no tears. I go hard, and I ain't making up no excuse. I'm overdue, I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Cause if you think about it, man, we're supposed to lose. It ain't all picture perfect ocean views. Nope, I was a first-class rookie, taking out bullies in my all-black hoodie. Man, a mystery, you know the history. Get it or forget it, cause poof, I'm out of here.
I read the rules before I broke them. I broke the chains before they choked me out. And I paid close attention, really learned the code. I learned to read the map before I hit the road.
Say,
nobody's gonna see me coming. Nobody's gonna hear a sound. No matter how hard they try it.
Yo, I've been high and I've been real low. I've been beaten and broken, but I heal though. So many ups and downs, roughed up and clown. We all got problems, but we deal though. I'm trying to do better now, find my inner peace. Learn my art form and find my energy. When my back's on the wall, I don't freeze up. Now I find my inner strength and I re-up. Here we go. I know I never been the smartest or wisest, but I realize what it takes. Never dwell in the dark, cause the sun always rises, but gotta make it to the next day. It's a feeling that you get in your lungs when you run, but you're running out of air and your breath won't come. And you wheezing, gotta keep it moving. Find that extra and push your way through it.
I've had bad habits, but I dropped them.
That's a pretty good song. I'm going to have Crystal take a look at that video. She loves dressing in her Taekwondo outfit and having fun with it. So,
you know, so I thought it was applicable because I thought of that actually when I chose that one on a couple levels. It's got kids in it performing martial arts. And, you know, the history, it's a Canadian song. So I'll let you go ahead and do the history on it. But I was wondering how you'd feel about it.
Yeah, so the song is done by... stage name Classified. The guy's name's Luke Boyd, and he's a Canadian recording artist. David Miles is an independent musician who plays folk jazz and soul music, starting with this with his debut album, Together and Alone. This song was actually the biggest rap single in Canadian history. That's pretty cool. Again, I'm not normally into that style of music, but this one was a good one. This is a good choice, Maggie. I like it.
I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, it's Canadian music is very different.
It is.
It's very different, I think. You know, I mean, everybody knows Bryan Adams came from Canada, and I like him a lot, but their pop style, I think, is very, very different from ours. And, you know, like I said, the kids were in it and stuff, and Inner Ninja, when you were talking about the blow dart before, I thought that was funny.
It works, definitely.
Yeah, we won't talk about my crossbow, but anyway, I got one on you, but
going all Laura Croft
oh,
on
gosh.
Us.
What, how much time do we have?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Oh, we got enough time for a quick meditation. What do you think?
We do indeed.
So if everybody can relax and lay back, be comfortable, take off your shoes and your socks if you prefer, lean back or lay back, whichever you prefer, and start to take deep breaths. Breathe in and feel the top of your head, your facial muscles, your ears. Relax. Breathe and feel your neck relax, your shoulders, your upper body. Continue to breathe until your upper arms, into your elbows, lower arms, wrists and hands. And as you relax, I'd like for you to visualize this week the color black. It's very, very dark, very peaceful, very still and quiet. And as you breathe and your body continues to relax, knowing that you're safe, protected, held in the arms of angels, the stillness and the darkness feels like laying in a room with the blinds closed. It's a peaceful dark. You're safe there. Your eyes are closed. You can feel the blackness surrounding you. As you continue to breathe in through your upper body, your chest, breathing ever slower into your abdomen, your stomach. The peacefulness of night, the peacefulness of dark surrounds you, the solitude of knowing that you're alone, but you're totally protected. This is a time for rest. It's a time for rejuvenation. It's a time to relax your mind as you continue to breathe, breathing down, relaxing through your hip muscles, the blackness turns to a dark gray. And the gray is soothing. You're safe and protected. The gray is a period of rest, not total sleep, but total relaxation. It's a fuzzy TV where the snow is flickering on the old school TVs, where there's no program. There's just peaceful noise to relax you. Black noise, they call it. As you continue to breathe and relax through your upper legs, your knees, the dark gray just transcends into a lighter shade of gray. And this gray just feels warm, safe, comfortable, peaceful. You're reminded of a gray wool coat, your favorite coat that your grandma or grandpa would wear. It's soft and warm and inviting. You're totally protected, totally at peace. As you continue to breathe through your knees, your lower legs relaxing, your ankles, it turns to an even lighter shade of gray. Breathing, knowing that you're safe and protected. This gray is the gray of a crayon, a light gray. It's not quite white, but almost white. It's peaceful. It's safe. It's the sun rising over the horizon just before the sun peaks on a beautiful morning. The color of the sky before the sun comes up and lights it. A beautiful shade. People associate darkness with evil, but darkness can be comfort and protection and safeness as well. And this gray is, it's lighter than a mouse gray. The color of the lightest gray crayon in your box. And it's soothing. Because you know that inside of that gray, there's white. And that the light is coming. So you breathe through your ankles, your feet, your toes. And totally relaxed, that gray transforms into white. You can see and feel a bright, pure white as your body is totally relaxed, totally at peace, totally safe and protected. You breathe in the energy of the white, its restorative powers, its healing powers, its purification powers, its protective powers. The energy of the white cleanses you. It restores you. It rejuvenates you. But yet you're totally relaxed, totally at peace, as you allow the white light to filter from your head to the top of your crown chakra, all the way through, aligning all your chakras as it goes, down through your root chakra, out into the earth, as you breathe in total relaxation. The white light anchors from the heavens, coming down through your crown chakra, all the way through your chakras, out your root, into the earth, to the center of the earth. And there it becomes anchored. That white light is now going to come up from the earth, a separate beam, all the way through as you breathe, coming back up through your root chakra, through all of your chakras, out your head chakra, and back up to the heavens where it becomes anchored there. Totally safe and peace and relaxed. You're safe and protected, and you're anchored now, grounded from the heavens to the earth and the earth to the heavens. You can feel the warmth of the white light, the healing energy as it's restoring and healing every cell, washing away all negativity, breathing, rejuvenating, restoring, adding protection and peace, comfort, calming. That white light fills every crevice of your body, every cell. As you breathe, allow the white light to travel from the tips of your toes all the way up through your ankles, your feet, lower legs, breathing, up through your knees, your thighs, your hips. Breathing, totally protected. Feel the white light come up through your lower stomach, abdomen, chest. As the white light comes from your toes all the way up your body, it's flushing out all negativity, all disease, all worry, stress, and tension. Breathing up through your chest, your shoulders. Breathing white light through your upper arms, your elbows, your lower arms, your wrists, your fingers, and hands. And I want you to picture white light shooting out the tips of all of your fingers. As you breathe, this white light is pulsing through you, filling your aura with white light. You're not losing this white light energy as you breathe and start to awaken, refreshed and relaxed. because it is an infinite source. And so therefore, as you breathe and it flows through you and fills you, as it comes out your fingertips, it fills your aura and all around you with white light. Breathing up through your neck, into your head, your ears, your mouth, your chin, your eyes, your nose, your forehead, your scalp, your hair. The white light fills and comes out the top of your crown chakra and flows all around you, filling your aura as well. You open up your eyes totally refreshed, totally awake, at peace, at comfort, and healed. Thank you, Ira. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you so much, Maggie, for everything that you do. And it's always an awesome experience to be here with you. Until next time, everybody, keep safe out there. Have fun. And thank you so much, as always, for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Ira.